You have your Bibles this morning. We're going to try to look at three different aspects of what the Bible teaches concerning our walk. Three is ambitious. I hope we can do that and get that far and look at them all. We're going to talk this morning about walking with God, walking before God, and walking after God. Now, they sound rather similar, and they are, I guess, in certain respects. They're all talking about our walk. Our walk, by the way, we remember from table worship, that's how we every day kind of live life. It's not the mad dash, it's not the sprint, it's the everyday plodding along, step after step, day after day, year after year, and on it goes. That's how we do life. We walk through life. We generally don't run through life, we walk through life. And even in walking through life, we get weary, even the youth shall faint. And even the young people shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle. They run and they're not weary, and they walk and they're not faint. And so we need the grace of God and the strength of God, the help that he offers to us, just to walk through life worthy of the vocation, in this spirit, in the newness of life, and on and on. And may God help us, and he does. Now, yesterday, if you remember, we read something from Genesis chapter 5 and in Hebrews 11 and Jude verse 14. And we talked about Enoch and how he had this testimony. He pleased God because walked with God. He walked with God. He began Methuselah, and after that he began to walk with God. And for years and years and years he developed and maintained a steadfastness in his walk with God. Amos asks the question, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Can you walk together unless you have a harmony? Can we really walk through life with God unless we're on the same page as he is? Now, it's not that we're trying to get him to agree with us. Lord, you know, we want to bring you around to thinking as well as we think and to doing what we want you to do. No, we have to agree with him. He is God. We need to obey, trust, and obey. There's no other way. We need to come around to confessing that what he says is the right way and then walk together through life, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly before our God day in and day out, because he's got the right prescription for life to make it go well. He wants your days to be prosperous. He wants you to have good success, like he tells Joshua. And so what I want you to do is I want you to walk with me. I'm not trying to hurt you when I want to pull you into a yoke and walk life with you. I only mean for your betterment, because I made you. I know how you operate and how you work best. And I know when you get off the course and follow, it leads into a ditch, and it's not the prosperous way. It's not the glorious way. And so walk with me. Confess what I confess, which is, you know, we talk about if you confess with your mouth. Confession is just I'm agreeing with what God says. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Do you confess that's true? I do. I confess that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I confess that. I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior. And if I invite and come and ask him to come into my heart, confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin. I make my confession that, Lord, what you said about me is true, and what you've done for me is also true. And I've embraced that. I confess and I walk together then, not just in that beginning, but, Lord, all through life. I develop that walk with you even when I don't see that you're there. You've all read the poem, Footsteps. And I don't know it by memory. I don't even know who authored it. Is it unknown? Maybe that's why I don't know the author. But it talks there about, remember, you're walking on the sand, and so you're walking and you got your footprints and his footprints, and you're walking, and all of a sudden you notice that there's no second set of footprints, just one set. What happened? Who disappeared, me or him? And the answer to the poem at least tells us that, no, he didn't disappear, neither did you disappear. But when the going got rough, he picked you up and he was holding and carrying you and walking you. He's not disappeared, he's there. Even though I walk through the valley, David says, even if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even there I don't have to fear any evil because he's still there. Sometimes it doesn't seem as if he is. Seems like he's distant or far away. He's left. He's gone away on vacation or something, but he hasn't. And that's where the faith kicks in. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, table worship, if you were there. We walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see. And we might not always see him, but he's always there. And we have to count on that because he's promised that. And I confess that's true. So I am walking with him, and he's walking with me, whether I see him or feel him. That's another thing. I don't feel. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. But the word of God doesn't come and it doesn't go, and it's not deceiving. It's true. It's forever settled in heaven, and I can put my faith there, as the counselor sang a couple nights ago. My faith has found a resting place. It's not in a creed, it's not in a device, but it's in the ever-living one and in the word that he has written, because he is his word. And I can fully trust in what it is that he says. He is with me. Everybody might forsake me, but I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to fear what man shall do to me. Why? Because he's with me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Well, here's another name. It's not in the Bible. I won't go back to last night, but do you remember the name Francis Chadwick? Anybody know that name? Those of you from California should know the name Francis Chadwick. She's famous. She was famous. She goes back a lot of years because what she did one year, 1952, is that old? I don't know. That's not too long ago. It was before I was born, so I guess it is pretty old. But in 1952, she had already been an Olympic swimmer. She swam long distances, and she was good. She was a medal winner. And so she knew how to swim, and she took up challenges. Some people take up challenges. I don't understand them. I was fascinated for a little bit of time in my life about 3 or 4 years ago. I was reading all the books I could read about Mount Everest and climbing Mount Everest. And I'm wondering as I'm reading them, why in the world would anybody want to do this? They all of them, every single one of them, they get to a hair's breadth of losing their lives. And half their friends are dying and dead and frozen solid somewhere. And they're going on and they take 3 steps and that's another story. Why would you do it? Because it's there, that's why. And we ascend the mountain, but we got to get back down before nightfall because we'll die if we're staying up and we don't have the strength to get back. And, oh, man, why would you do that? Well, Frances Chadwick, if I could find her, I would ask her the same question. She decided that what she wanted to do was go over to Catalina Island. Do you know where that is? No. You know where it is? Somewhere out in California. It's an island. I was on the island. Coronado? Is that on Catalina? I saw it. I walked through the place. Nice place. Nice place to visit. We'll want to live there. But she wanted to swim from Coronado or from Catalina to the coast of California. And it's an island. And so you got to go across some waters. And depending on where you're swimming to and where you wind up, it's between 20 and 26 miles. Anybody swim that far? We were talking about running that far the other day. I couldn't run that far. I can't walk that far. And I certainly couldn't swim that far. I could hardly go in a motorboat that far. That's a long distance, 26. And so, but she wanted to do it. And they have currents, you know, the winds or the tides. And it's an arduous, difficult swim. And the water there, what's it, I think all the Pacific, it's cold, the water. I tried to go in the water. I did go in and I came right out. I mean, it was freezing cold. I was in Santa Monica. It's south. It's warm. Warm nothing. The water's freezing cold. And there up north and there where she was trying to swim, it was frigid. Ice waters is what the story's told. But she was going to do it. So she jumped in and she started swimming. And 15 hours later, she was still swimming. The shark infested waters, other stuff. There were people around her so that they would make sure of her safety. And she was going to make it, but she got to a certain distance away from the coast of California, and she couldn't see the coast anymore because there was fog. And so she didn't know where she was, really. She knew she was swimming, and she really wasn't, as the story is told, physically exhausted. I mean, I don't know, what kind of person is this? What manner of woman is she? That after 15 hours of swimming, it wasn't a physical exhaustion, but it was a mental exhaustion. And she just couldn't see the coastline. She couldn't see where she was. And so what she did is she said, Uncle, she cried, Uncle. What, you know what I mean by cry, Uncle? She gave up. She said, I quit. Pick me up. Take me in the boat. I don't know where I am. I can't see the shoreline. I don't know how much further. I don't know how. I quit. I can't do this. And she was lifted from the waters, only to find out that she was a quarter of a mile away from the coast. And she said, if I could only have seen the coast, I could have easily made it. But when I couldn't see, when I didn't think I was that close, when I didn't know the nearness, I decided to quit and give up. 2 months later, she tried it again, and 2 months later, she made it again, then went to England and swam the English Channel and on and on and on. And now she's with her maker somewhere, I guess. I don't know where she is, but she's not any longer with us. But if I could only see, if I only could see. And sometimes in our walk with God, it's that way. Where is he? I don't see him. If I only knew he was with me. I like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they couldn't see. They walked by faith before they walked by sight. Jesus said, blessed are those who don't see, yet they still can walk in faith and believe. Although they can't see, and they didn't see the prints in the hands, and they didn't see the prints in my feet or the ribbons, although they didn't see, blessed are those that haven't. Thomas, I'm talking to you. Blessed are those that haven't seen, yet they've believed. And if you don't see this morning, keep walking with God. He's there. You don't see him. You don't feel him. You don't sense him. I lost that feeling. So what? You've got the word of God, which is better and more concrete than your feelings. Lord, you are there. And the coast is right there. And I can see that you're there. And these three Hebrew children, they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they didn't see the fourth like unto the Son of God in the furnace. And they didn't see the fourth one walking with them towards the flames. They were just walking by faith. If he shows up, he shows up. If he's not there, he's not there. But we believe that he's with us. We believe that we're with him. We don't sense him. We may not see him, but he is with us. And he is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace because he's with us. If he doesn't deliver us, so what? We'll then go to be with the Lord. But we are convinced that he is with us and we are going to be true to him. We're going to walk with him. They walked into that fiery furnace and behold, the blessed Son of God was walking with them there. And the king looked and said, I threw three guys in, but I'm not seeing three. I'm seeing four. Was ist das? Ein, zwei, drei, vier. What happened? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. I can't say it in Chinese. Yeah, that. Yes, Lord, are you with me in the fiery furnace? Are you with me wherever I am? In school, at work, are you with me? Well, I don't want to belabor it any longer, but God wants to walk with us. You know the little song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there in that fellowship. So walk with God, as Enoch did. But he wasn't the only one. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, the Bible says, they walked with God. And so can you and so can I. But then, and here's something that maybe we haven't considered, and it is different, where we read, if you turn to Genesis 17, the first verse, this is to Abraham. Abraham is being addressed, and the Lord says to Abraham, Abraham, I am the Almighty. Walk before me. That's different than walking with me. You walk before me, and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God, and in reverential awe, and in respect as to who I am and who you are, Abraham, I call you to walk before me. I am, the thought is, I am examining you. I am the Almighty God that sees and watches and sees your coming and your going and sees the way that you live and the way that you walk with me. You walk now before me. I'm inspecting you. I'm scrutinizing you. I'm looking at the way you walk. Paul the Apostle puts it this way. Walk circumspectly. Don't walk like fools. You redeem the time. We're walking before God. He sees you. He sees me. The Bible says that he even sees my thoughts. Is that scary to some of you? Maybe it should be. He can read your mind. I think some of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed when he was here on earth is when he got in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees and he was able to tell them what they were thinking. He was able to read their minds and expose their thoughts. And they were dumbfounded as to what Jesus was able to do. Oh yeah, he can heal the sick and he can raise the dead and he can walk on the water and he can turn the water into wine and he can do all those miracles. But he can read my mind. That's really what woke Sarah up in the story of Abraham and Sarah. That God could read her mind. And although God didn't see her and nobody saw her, God knew she was laughing inside the tent and called her out for it. He could read my mind and he reads your mind. Better stop thinking the way you're thinking. What do you mean? I don't know. You tell me. What do I mean? Do you know what I mean? You better stop letting your mind wander. Well, I can't. Bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul the Apostle said that. And you say, I can't. And I agree with you. You can't. But the Holy Spirit can. Lord, let the words of my mouth and let the meditations of my heart. What do you think about? As you think, that's what you will be. Well, you know, I try to be what I'm supposed to be. I try to be good. I try to. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the heart proceed all the rot and all the filthiness and all the debauchery and all this and all that. And it comes from inside of you. Don't cleanse the outside of the plate. And inside it's all messed up and dirty. Jesus goes after that, does he not? The Pharisees made a good show. They made a good pretense. They lived it in front of everybody else, but they just didn't live it before God. And God, who read their hearts and could read their minds, they walked before God. And they didn't walk with him. And when they walked before him, he saw. He searched. He scrutinized. He tried to help them. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He gets after you. He'll try to tell you what's going on the inside, and he might expose what's going on the inside because he hates me, because he wants to get me. No, because he loves you, and he wants to save you, and he wants you to walk with him, and he wants you to have fellowship with him because he made you, and he knows how your life works best. Walk before God. In Revelation, the first chapter, he's portrayed as our God, portrayed as a lot of different things. You know, the vision that John saw in Revelation, I had somebody, I just mentioned this recently somewhere. I think it was in CCCMD in Maryland, and I mentioned it there, that first chapter and the portrait, and I wonder what that would look like. His hair was like wool. His eyes are like flames of fire. In other words, his eyes see right through you. They see right down into the inner recesses, and they expose and know the thoughts and the intent, even the motivation of your heart. That's what God's eyes can see. And then it goes on, and he's this and that, and his feet are like brass and on. I said, I wonder what that would look like. And one of the young people in the church, I guess, were bored with what I was saying. And so they took out their pencil and pen, and they started to draw a picture. Well, at least they listened to something. And I don't know if they did it in church. Probably not, if I know these kids well enough and I know their parents, and I do. But the next day I was handed a picture of Revelation chapter 1. I got it at home. I don't have it in my Bible. But there he is, eyes. They were orange. Is that what flames of fire are? I guess so. And his eyes just pierced. Walk before me. I'm watching you. We used to sing a little chorus in Sunday school. Oh, be careful.
Little eyes, what you see.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Let's skip to the next verse. Oh, be careful, little
ears, what you hear.
Careful little ears, what you hear. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Oh, be careful, little. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Now, here we got this part. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful what you see, what you hear, and what you say. Because you're walking before a God who hears, who sees, and who knows and searches. Now, to some of you, it should be comforting to know, because sometimes it comes out wrong. Sometimes you say the wrong thing. I've told you when I was in Taiwan how I said the wrong thing. I don't even know what I said wrong, and so I'd be careful not to say it wrong again, but I tried to say thank you. It didn't come out right. I figured I'd leave my interpreter in the dust, finally, the last day of the conference there in Taiwan. And I wanted, so I said to everybody, I don't know how many hundreds of people that were there, and I said, I want to just say to every one of you, I want to say, Shishi. And I was hoping I was saying thank you. Did I just say thank you? I said it wrong, though. I said, I don't know what I said. Shishi, 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 shishu. I don't know what I said, but I said it. And my translator, he just started bursting out laughing. And everybody's laughing. And I'm sitting there, I said thank you to them. What's so funny about that? Is it funny that I said thank you? Should I not say thank you? And then the translator finally composed himself enough to say, you just said you need the bathroom. I don't know how I said it. Shishi, shishi, shishu. But I said the wrong thing. Well, Lord, you know my heart. You know I didn't mean to say shishé, shishé. I meant to say thank you. Lord, you know I don't need the bathroom, and you know what I was meaning to say. And sometimes you say the wrong thing, and somebody takes it wrong. Oh, Lord, thank you that you know my heart. And maybe you did it wrong. And maybe it came out wrong. And it really looked like it was wrong, and it was really bad, but it really wasn't, because you didn't mean it that way. You meant it for the best, and the Lord knows. Thank God he does. So he doesn't only see it the bad way, but he sees it in the good way. Lord, I want to walk before you. When we were younger, we don't do this anymore. Nobody does it anymore that I know of. Anybody remember Sunday school parades?
Yeah,
you remember them. Okay, some of you old-timers. Well, you're not an old-timer, but anyway, Sunday school parades. We used to have them in our churches. In Ridgewood, there's a Sunday school parade. I used to march in the parade in Sunday school. Anniversary day. You know what anniversary day is? It's still on the calendar, and you still get a day off from school. Maybe I'm wrong about that now, but in June, the first Thursday in June is anniversary day. nobody, they tell you it's anniversary day, but nobody would dare say what the anniversary is of. But it was the anniversary of Sunday school. Sunday schools began this, and we commemorate anniversary day. And so schools were off, and things were let go. And every anniversary day, there were parades around the New York City. And all the churches that had Sunday schools, all the churches, didn't matter if you were this denomination or that denomination, we would all converge into one place, and all our churches would march. We'd wear the banners of the theme, whatever it was, Christ for the Nations, Jesus loves you, hell is hot, whatever it was that it said. And we would wear the banners and march through the neighborhoods, and we would play our instruments, and there'd be some guy banging on the drum. No, no, it's supposed to be, you know, one, two, but not bump, 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 bump. Not like your heartbeat, but it's supposed to be, you know, regular. And we would teach them, and they would play, and they'd have a guy on the snare drums that never held a snare drum in his life, but he was taught to roll off, turn, boom, boom, and then we'd play our instruments. And we had floats, not ice cream floats, not what you get at the boathouse, but we had these contraptions on wheels that we'd decorate it and put banners on and signs of Jesus loves you, God so loved the world. And people would, we get two horses, men, that would pull these things through the streets. And we'd march for a mile or two through the streets of Ridgewood, through the streets of Ozone Park. And then the mothers would decorate the baby carriages, crepe paper. And they would decorate in certain colors. And we would make it all look pretty. Now, why are we doing all this? Well, we wanted to be a testimony in the neighborhood. But there was a given place. I'm going back to the one in Ozone Park. And on 91st Avenue, right around 90th Street or so, there was a grandstand set up. And in that grandstand, there were some dignitaries that were seated up there, the Queensborough president and the public library president and the mother of the PTA president. All these famous, important people were sitting in these seats, and we were clued in that when we get to where they are, then you're on your best. Why? Because you're walking before the dignitaries. And those dignitaries, they're scrutinizing you. They're looking and they're listening. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. They're judging by your actions. They're looking at the float. How nice is that float? Well, the Baptist church did a lot better than you guys did. And the Lutheran church outdid the Baptist church. They decorated and they got three tiers to their float, and you guys got one tier. And well, you try to decorate your float because you want it to win. Win what? Nothing. But you wanted to win. And you decorated the baby carriages so that you could win. And I can remember, we didn't play our instruments for like three blocks because we wanted to make sure we had enough of our lip left so that we could sound the best. Some churches, they tried to cheat. They hired bands to play. They got Dizzy Gillespie or whoever he was, and they got a few other guys. They looked like 90-year-old men with their instruments all going, and they had been playing for 90 years or so. And then we kids came up with a man, and we would try to, but we would, and when we got, were walking past that grandstand, oh, we did the best we could possibly do. Why? Because we were being watched. And when you're being watched, you do your best. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So I better walk carefully, humbly, justly. I better walk in the Spirit. The Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful. Be careful, but nobody's here. Nobody sees. No, I get to do what I want to do. No. Lord, voices of earth, strong are the foes. But you're watching me. And you know, if you need any motivation at all, maybe that's your motivation. Lord, you're watching me. Help me to walk carefully before you. Well, not only that, he goes on, the Bible. And just one verse, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 13. the fourth verse, this is what it says. You shall walk, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, his nation, his people. And he says to them, you shall walk after the Lord your God, and for him, keep his commands, obey him, serve him, cleave to him. I want you to walk after the Lord your God. And the idea there is not only are we walking before him or with him, but we're walking, the psalmist puts it this way. It's in Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, O Lord. I'm going to close the distance. Oh, for a closer walk with thee. I don't want to lag behind. I don't want to be too far away, but I want to come closer. I want to walk after the Lord, hard after the Lord. I'm not content to be one of those kids that follows him afar off. You read of that, don't we, in the Bible? Peter followed him afar off. I want to be one of those that follow him a lot closer than afar off. I want to walk before him. I want to walk with him. And I want to walk harder after him. I want to press on the upward way. I want to gain new heights every day. Some may dwell in the places where doubts and fears abound, but my prayer and my aim is higher ground. Lord, I want to walk close to the shepherd. And I want to be able to hear your voice instructing me, this is the way. You walk in it. And so, Lord, inspire us today and help us today to walk with you, to walk before you, and to walk after you. There are a lot of songs that express all of these sentiments that we like to sing. The song we sang earlier, the prayer, Oh, for a Closer Walk, expresses the desire that we have to go nearer to him, to get closer to him, to not stay so far away. There's one more. Maybe we can sing it in closing. It goes like this. I like it when you can, really, I don't know if Brother Paul can play it like this. Just a closer walk, just a closer walk, just a closer walk. Da, 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 da. I'm sure he could play it that way, but he probably won't. So let's sing together. It's in the hymn book. I don't even know where it is, but let's sing together. Just a closer. Grant it, Jesus. This is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Has anybody got the number? 303. You're on, Brother Paul. Here we go. Let's sing together. 303. Shall we stand as we sing? Oh. 329? Let's try 329. 329. 329. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through just a closer walk with thee. Grant wanted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Now before we sing the last verse, some of you are enjoying this a little too much. We might have to revert back, but we won't. We won't. We'll sing the third verse as we've sung the first two. And before we do that, though, just a couple of quick announcements. Right after the meeting this morning, if anybody wants to join in a shuffleboard tournament, they got new discs. I think they're plastic. They maybe work. I don't know. They haven't tried them. But we'd like to have a little shuffleboard tournament. I do have a prize, maybe similar to what the parade grandstand people would give us. But there'll be something, I'm sure. And so if you'd like to be in a shuffleboard tournament, and if you don't have anybody to play and a partner, you'll find somebody down there to play with you, because there'll be others that are looking for someone to play with. So if you want to, just this morning, shuffleboard tournament. And then there is a prayer meeting, staff prayer, and guests are invited to come at 4:15. 4:15, right in this room this afternoon for a prayer time. Tonight there's no meeting in the lodge. Tonight meeting is on the beach. It's a bonfire, and so we'll gather at the beach tonight at 8:15. So just to keep that all in mind, so make your plan your day accordingly. And let's sing that last stanza. Here we go. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Now don't breathe a word of this to anybody in the next couple of periods or days. Don't tell them what we did. We'll strike it from the recording this morning and make sure. Not really. Let's take these words to heart. Let it be, dear Lord. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let it be. Dismiss us with your blessing. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Okay.
See you for the
okay. Yes, right back. Okay, enjoy your day. Have a good time. Have a good day.